Today, as I was reflecting on what to say, I kind of want to talk a little bit about how the evil one attacks us, and also a little bit on fatherhood. So if you're not a father, or you're not under attack, you know, I guess get what you can out of this. So the devil attacks our identity, right? In the Gospels, he's attacking Jesus' sonship. If you are the Son of God, he says, he keeps using that phrase, if you're the Son of God, then do this or do that. The devil is the enemy of our souls. He wants to twist us around. And he attacks humanity from the very beginning. We saw that in our first reading. He attacks Adam and Eve. He attacks their first, he says, putting a doubt in their mind, did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? So he kind of puts that doubt there first. Then he plants that temptation that's kind of coated in sugar. God knows well that the moment you eat of the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods, and you will know what is good and what is evil. So the devil, he attacks our identity as sons and daughters of God, and he tries to put doubt into our mind. Does God really love us? Does he really care for us? Or is he just trying to control us? Now, to fix this problem, we need to rise up and rebel and claim our own right, what's rightfully ours. That's what he's kind of proposing. If we want to fix this problem that God's in charge, we have to become God ourselves. So the devil is sowing these seeds of poison in our hearts. The devil truly is out to destroy humanity. We must realize this, and that means we have to understand the devil is real. He's a real being out there trying to thwart us. But the good news is we don't have to be afraid, we don't need to be worried, we don't have to live in fear, because already the victory is won. And the best defense is really living the spiritual life, coming to Mass, praying, having a life of prayer, going to a regular confession. These kind of things defend us from the attacks of the evil one. Now, one of the ways that Satan is attacking humanity right now in our world is he's attacking fatherhood. You can see this in our world. First, I wanted to say, I'm proud of our fathers. You know, we have a lot of great men in our parish. It's been a privilege to get to know you and work with you. That goes for our grandfathers and, of course, our mothers as well. But today, I just want to focus a little bit on how fathers are called to provide for their families. So, how is the father being portrayed in our culture? If we think about that, we look about it, I don't know if you guys ever watched The Simpsons or something like that. That's the kind of father that we're sort of told, this is the norm, Homer Simpson. And I don't know about you, but I kind of think like, oh, that's bad if that's our norm of what a father is. Or you might think of like Family Guy or different dads that are kind of portrayed on TV. And they're sort of said, we're sort of told, this is the normal for a father. He should be like this. And they're portrayed as sort of self-indulgent, crude, sort of macho guys. They're sort of always one-upping each other, and they're kind of inconsiderate of others. This is the type of man society teaches us is acceptable, and that this is kind of at least normal in some degree. And fathers, we're told that this is how we should be. This is how you should be. And young men, you're told that this is how you should become. And this is not the type of guy or man that God is calling us to be. So fathers are called to protect, provide, and establish their families. And that can be like a spiritual fatherhood, like myself, or a true fatherhood in the family sense. So protect. Adam, you know, what happens when Eve eats the fruit? Adam was standing right there next to her. Because it says she gave the fruit to Adam who was with her, to the man who was with her. So Adam was right there. He didn't defend. He didn't protect. That was his job, you know, to protect all the things that were in the garden, including Eve, and he wasn't there to protect her. He let his guard down. So men are there to protect, you know, and Satan wants to attack that. He's trying to attack us and undermine fatherhood in our day. And we can't just pass the blame. We have to step into that role of protecting and being the guardians of the home and guard the dignity of our wives, our children, you know, our community. We're called to protect. So what are the ways that the evil one tries to break in on that, to break in on our families? You know, he attacks the dignity of the human person, our chastity. He tries to attack our children. And there's different ways he does that. Maybe through media or television or movies or games, or there's lots of different ways that the devil tries to get into our homes. So we have to protect. We have to be aware. Where is the devil trying to attack us? Evil can come through many, many ways. And we can do this through the way we treat others, right? We can bring that evil into the home by the way we mistreat, whether it's the wife or the children or, you know, our broader family, our friends. We can do that too. Just the statistics. You know, statistics are just statistics. They don't always say everything fully, or they don't always point to exact truths, but just to give you an idea. When fathers are actively involved in the lives of their children perform better in school, they make healthier choices, they are more likely to establish healthy and good relationships. These are the effects of an active fatherhood. So fathers are to protect. They're also to provide. Many times we think of providing as sort of like a monetary thing, like I have enough money for us to eat food, have a house, these kind of things. Now in our day, pretty much a lot of homes, both the men and the women are doing this, but there's more than just the monetary thing. There's other things that are important too. Fathers are also to provide an environment where the family can flourish, to make the home a place of love, a place of discipline, of virtue, of consideration. And that means you as fathers need to lead the way. You need to live this out in your own life. Be a source of affirmation and love to provide stability. Again, statistics, just some statistics. When a father is affirming, children are more emotionally secure, confident, have a healthier social connection typically, and boys learn how to treat women with respect, and girls learn how to be respected, how they ought to be respected. So the father's role is very important in establishing those ways that the children relate. Fathers also called to establish their families, to lay that foundation of the family, dig down and lay that foundation on the rock of Christ and his church. Whatever you make the foundation of your family will be the foundation that you teach your children to put their trust in or rest their lives in. So we have to make that to be Christ, right? We want to rest in Christ in our lives. Some more statistics. If a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful and devout his wife is, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If, on the other hand, a father does regularly worship, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers. Now, that's just statistics, but it kind of gives you a sense that, for whatever reason, the role of the father is really, really important when it comes to the practice of the faith. You know, if he's disengaged, it's not a good thing. So, fathers, we need to be engaged, not only in the practice of the faith, but sharing that faith with your children. Don't be afraid. You know, sometimes we look around us and men are sort of seen as like distant or sort of selfish sort of guys, and we need to go beyond that. We need to break out of that mold. So you're not called to be the favorite. You're not called to be, just the friend of your children. You're called to set the boundaries, to bring order to the household. Your children have friends. What they need is a father, or maybe a grandfather. So, a few more statistics. Fathers stress justice and fairness when they discipline, sort of based on rules, while mothers stress sympathy, care, and help, sort of based on relationships. And fathers tend to observe and enforce rules systematically and sternly, teaching children the consequences of right and wrong, while mothers tend towards grace and sympathy, providing a sense of hopefulness. So both these discipline types aren't the best alone, but when brought together, they work really well together. And so when one or the other isn't there, it causes a problem. And we see that when we look around in our world, we see a lot of homes that don't have a steady dad there who's helping to be the source of stability. And we see a lot of problems in our youth because of that. So fathers, we need to step up into that role of being the father. Through one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death, and thus death came to all men. We heard that today in the scriptures. When fathers don't live out their role, the effects are devastating to the family. We see that. If you don't father your family, generations are likely to be affected by that. On the other hand, if you take up that role of fatherhood, you will provide and establish that future. So learn to love. Learn to love your family. Learn to apologize for your mistakes, for faults that you have. Recognize, I am not perfect. You have to recognize that. To put your wife first in your marriage, in your life. Don't be self-indulgent, but put her first. Learn how to show affection to your family, to your children. They need that. They need to know that you love them, that you care for them. Don't be afraid to show that to them. Satan's attack to us is, if you are the Son of God, if you are truly loved by God, he's always trying to make us doubt. What are the ways that the devil is trying to undermine your identity? He knows our weaknesses. Hopefully we know them too, so that we can be ready for his attacks. Being a mother, being a father, is a difficult task, as you know if you've been there. It's not an easy thing. You're under attack. The devil wants to get to you, and he wants you to distrust God. And if he can't get you to do that, he's going to try to get you to distrust each other. So how do we guard against this? We be on guard, and we recognize the devil is already defeated, right? Jesus defeated him at the cross and the resurrection. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear. We just have to remember we are already living in the victory. We just have to rest in Christ. When Christ is in us, we win. When he's not, we're by ourselves and we lose. So that's where the Mass, prayer life, the sacraments, confession, these are important things. When we have a relationship with God and we rest in him rather than the things of the world, these distractions, the devil loses. His power is no longer over us. He's not able to entrap us. So never let the devil get a hold of you. That means going to confession often. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. You know, don't let those sins, especially if it's a struggle that's a graver struggle or a bigger struggle, confession is the way out. It's the protection that we need. That cuts the chains that the devil tries to put around us. Let us pray for a renewal of fatherhood in our culture. May God call forth a generation of fathers who protect, provide, and establish their families. Wives, pray for your husbands. They need your prayers and support. Husbands, become the men of God that you are called to be. Rise to the call and become men of Christ, men of the church, and men for others. Saint Joseph, husband of Mary, pray for us.